Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Briarwood Kids Ask. My name is Dan Buck. I'm the director of lower school at the Briarwood School in Houston, Texas. And I'm so happy to have two very special guests here. I have Officer Lindsay Snedden, who's in Utah at the moment. And we also have Austin, who is a fourth grader here at the Briarwood School. So in just a moment, I'm going to put the two of you together. Officer Snedden, also known as Lindsay, has served as a police officer for 15 years in the state of Utah. With a passion for her work, she has experience dealing with major crimes, was a member of the alcohol task force in her state, and has served as a school resource officer. Currently, she's engaged in assisting individuals who have committed crimes to reintegrate into the community as part of adult probation and parole officer. Officer Snedden is a certified forensic interviewer and a drug recognition expert specializing in drug and alcohol crimes. This career path was not initially something Officer Snedden believed she could pursue. Her responsibilities involve writing numerous reports, interpreting legal statutes and laws, and ensuring a comprehensive understanding of information provided to her. These tasks can be challenging due to her struggles with dyslexia and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. Despite early doubts about her abilities in reading and writing, she overcame these challenges with the support of dedicated teachers and family members who helped her manage her symptoms. Officer Snedden is enthusiastic about engaging in conversation, answering questions, and hopefully having an enjoyable exchange right now. Sure, yes, she will. Okay, so without further ado, I'm going to move this over so Austin can ask you all the questions he wants to ask. Ready, Austin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Okay, so my first question is, why did you become a detective?
So the best question is, why did I become police officer? I really wanted to help people, and I thought that I could do that through the nursing program. But as I went through the program, I realized it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. And I had met a lot of police officers while I worked at a hospital and learned a lot about what they did. And it felt more down my alley, a little bit of excitement. And I have a hard time sitting still in one place. And as a police officer, you get to do different things every day. And so it just seemed something that fit my personality more. Because when I worked in the hospital, it was really hard to just stay in one spot the whole day. And it felt like very long days. But because every single day is different, it really helps me manage and be able to do a good job because I'm always doing something different every day. And that's the same with being a detective, is I get to investigate different types of crimes and I get to talk to different people. And every case is different, and I really like puzzles. So I get to figure out a puzzle and put it together.
Very interesting. So how I say this is, how much money does detectives normally make?
So most law enforcement officers will tell you we didn't become officers for the money. We don't get paid a whole lot, but it's enough to take care of a family. We do it more to, it's more of a rewarding job because we get to help those that really need help. We are with people in their very worst moments and we try to help them through those moments. And sometimes it can be really hard, but there are so many days where you get a thank you or you see how your participation or your investigation has really helped someone, and that's more rewarding than how much we get paid. But I would say in the state of Utah, maybe the average officer is starting is about $65,000 a year, but don't quote me on that, but that's where I'm thinking is where it is at.
Wow, that's really interesting. It's really nice to see that many officers could be nice, just not for the money, or just for the job of getting the things.
Yeah, it is. It really is just to help their community be a little bit better, a little safer.
So, how many years have you been a detective?
So I worked in investigations for about 6 years of my law enforcement career. Like I've been doing this for 15 years. However, that's just one very small part of police work. In every aspect, you are doing investigations. So the role of a detective is to take cases that maybe need a little bit more time and detail to investigate or to, come up with leads or try to solve than maybe an average case. And so those are the cases that go to investigations, but every officer investigates crimes and charges different people with different types of offenses depending on what's going on.
Very interesting. So, how you say is that your experience helps you learn more about these crimes and that how the experience makes it easier for you to understand to get to the main point of the crime and how it happened or and where
Correct.
to get the answer to it.
Yep, that's all we're doing is trying to find the answer to a question.
So my next question is, do you have to go to college to become a detective?
A lot of law enforcement agencies require that you have a associate's degree in some type of criminal justice or psychology or something of that nature. Especially now, they require you to have some college. But when I started, you did not have to have college. You just had to have some experience or do well in testing. And so you could have some, if you had some college, you had a leg up on getting employment. But now it's more of a requirement just because of the nature of the job. It requires a lot of knowledge and understanding how the criminal justice system works and how laws are created and how to actually enforce the law and what to look for to make sure a law has actually been broken.
Wow, it truly does make sense how why you would need to have to go to college to have the right recommend rec the right requirements to become a detective. And my other question is there a technique to interrogating the person at the scene of the crime or the
The incident.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different investigative techniques, but one of the best techniques, or I guess when you're just initially doing an investigation, is to ask a lot of open-ended questions, which means that you're not asking yes and no questions. You're asking for them to paint a picture for you. So you would say, tell me what your day has looked like. Tell me what you've been doing the last 4 hours. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. And that way, you are not narrowing the information that you're receiving, that you're getting a lot of information, because sometimes a story can sound really crazy. But if you start believing that, like, have a belief before you ask questions of what happened, then you really don't, you do the investigation a disservice because you really don't find out actually what happened. So you let them lead you where you need to go, and you just are kind of directing the conversation. So if they're going outside of what you're investigating, like, my favorite color is purple or something, that really doesn't matter. And so you're like, oh, that's great. I like purple too. So tell me about, how you know this person, or tell me about this or that. And it really does help you just kind of navigate and get all of the information that you need to start building a case. And then once you have a suspect, then that interrogation is completely different than an initial investigation. When you're interrogating somebody, you really do need to have different avenues that you can use, because everybody's different and some people respond differently to different types of questioning. So you have to try all different types of ways of asking people things to find out what works with that person.
Very interesting. So also, how does it feel to solve a case?
Oh, solving a case is awesome. It depends on the case. Some cases, even when you solve it, it doesn't really feel like you did a whole lot, because it didn't help anybody. But if it's a case that it's a crime against a person, and not a crime against property, and you can help that person come to some resolution on finding the person that hurt them, or being able to show that what they are saying was true, and you can, you know, validate their report, that's really awesome feeling, because you're helping someone have a voice when they feel like they don't have a voice.
Okay, wow. I can see how that makes you happy. And here's one of some of my questions about how is it to be a dyslexic detective.
I didn't know if you were asking that or not. Sorry. I can answer that. It sometimes is hard. It took me a long time to be able to write and articulate on paper my thoughts. But once I was able to kind of figure out a way to write my thoughts down, I'm actually more articulate on paper than I am vocally. So sometimes it's hard when I'm talking, because I still jumble my words and I don't sound as smart as maybe I know that I am, or I feel like maybe someone doesn't think I'm as intelligent. And so I have to take breaths and just remember that it's okay if I jumble a word, I can always correct it. But I've found that the most important part of an investigation is your report, because that's what goes to court and that's what they rely heavily on. So I became a very good report writer. So I speak better in writing than I do out loud, if that makes sense.
Also, another question. What is the hardest case you've had?
The hardest case, any case that I have involving children is hard. So working as a school resource officer and in investigations, I would handle juvenile cases. And hearing some of the things that happen to someone that's younger that can't protect themselves, those are hard cases. Every single one of those cases is a hard case, because you want to really be able to protect children. And when that trust for that child has been broken, it's really hard to see that and see how, you know, when something bad happens to them, how much it really does affect them. So investigating cases that involve children are the ones that are the hardest for me.
Well, that's sad. So also, what is the easiest case you've had?
The easiest case, and they're my favorite, is they're called lockouts. You get a call because someone locked their key in their car, and you go and you have them sign a piece of paper to give you permission to break into their car, and you break into their car to get their keys out, and everyone is very happy that you got their keys out of their car and nothing bad happens, and it's just a very positive experience. So I love going and helping people get their keys out of their car.
What is the main thing? Also, what is the main thing you had to do to solve a case?
The main thing is to ask a lot of questions and find all of the facts. that's the best way to solve any case is you have to be a fact finder. And you are trying to find every little fact that you possibly can to make sense out of something that may not make sense when you first show up. So the best thing to do is ask a lot of questions and make sure that the questions that you're asking aren't biased as far as like what you believe happened, and let them tell you what happened. And then you just need to make sure that you can either prove or disprove what they're saying. And so you ask a lot of questions and then you try to prove what they're saying is right or disprove what they're saying. So you try to find the evidence to support or not support what they're saying.
They're really interesting. How hard is it to read a case? How hard is it to read a case?
How hard is it to read a case? So for me, it's difficult because I can only focus for about 15 minutes on something before I have to do something else and then I have to come back. So I have this this procedure that I go through where I'll read for about 15 minutes. And then when my brain starts wandering, because it always does, I go and I will either start collect like bagging evidence and marking it. And then I'll come back and then I'll start where I left off and I'll continue. And so that I can build a picture, because if I read too long for too long of a period, then I miss stuff because my brain starts wandering a little bit. So I have to really make sure that I am focusing on the task that I have. And mine is about 15 minutes is about how long I have. And I know that. And so when you know what your strengths are, and then you know what your limitations are, you can kind of work around your limitations and you can make your weaknesses stronger because you know what they are. And so I just recognize what I can do and what I can't do. And then I just focus more on the things that I know I can do really well. And it helps mitigate some of the things that I don't do very well.
Interesting. That was my final question for you. Do you have anything else that you have to say?
Questions for him?
Well, I just met you. How do you like your school?
I do really like it.
Yeah? What's your favorite subject?
Favorite subject has to be math.
Math? I love math too. Is it because there's always an answer?
Yes.
Mine too. I liked math for the same reason. Well, it was really nice to meet you, Austin.
Yeah. So thank you, Officer Seddon, very much for giving us your time today. We really appreciate it. Austin, it was a great interview. Mm-hmm. Good job. Proud of you. Excellent. From the Briarwood School, we will see you next time. Briarwood Kids Ask. Thank you, and we'll see you next month.